Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Monday. Should be the last really crazy hot Monday for a while. Next Monday is when I'm probably moving Phoebe to school. She's there, but her house was not ready. It was being renovated. So we have to do the move next week, but it's like 75 on Monday.
Oh, you might have gotten a break.
No kidding.
Yeah.
This weekend would have been bad.
Oh, yeah. I'm assuming it was the same out there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, maybe a little bit worse. Kansas always seems to be a little bit hotter and a little bit colder.
Oh.
It's just out in the middle of friggin' nowhere, so, you know.
It's closer to the equator, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
It just gets beat up. Yeah. So, hey, big day for the DGS. We received one award we can't tell you about yet.
Nah.
Right?
Nah.
Although there will be hints.
There will be hints
along the way. But we just won the St. Louis Magazine A-List Award. This year's different. This is for most talented show of all time.
Yeah, so I saw that.
They switched it up right at the end.
Yeah, best looking also.
Yeah, sexy.
They tacked that on the end.
Yes, they put sexy.
In parentheses. And also.
And that's where the streaming came in, because then we could verify.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Straight
that's
up hotness.
Right. Yeah. Yes. We're evidently setting records.
Yeah.
Look, Jake's there right now.
Yeah.
He knows.
Jake knows. So, yeah, thank you for that, because that's one of those that you try for. Like, we ask you to vote, and you voted, so there you go. Although, I voted twice a day, so that's probably...
Dave voted Chicago style.
I voted from time to time.
Yeah, it was like Kennedy in 60.
You were doing that mail-in fraud that Trump and Putin were talking about.
It's like Boardwalk Empire. And Nucky Thompson walking you in the front door, and then putting you back in the back door to vote again.
How was everyone's weekend?
Pretty
quiet. Did you get too hot playing tennis?
Yeah. Yeah, I played tennis on the grass courts in Tower Grove Park this weekend, which was really difficult because I usually play on hard surface, mm-hmm. and I knew it was going to be different. I just didn't understand how different it was going to be. Yeah. So it was physically difficult making that adjustment, but it was so hot. I made this reservation back in May, having no idea what the forecast would be like for August. And we had it for an hour. I told Dave probably 25 minutes, like under an umbrella, just trying to cool down, like pouring ice water on myself to get my body temperature down. Cause just like, man, when your wheels get sick, when you're this pale and the sun is like beating down on you and then reflecting up from the grass too, it was overwhelming. I was very scared I was going to pass out.
When you're not used to that kind of stuff, it's a lot.
It was a lot.
What time of day?
10 a.m.
All right, so it was pretty hot
by
then.
I mean, I play in the heat all the time, but I do it like early in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's just not ever that intense.
Yeah.
And not being used to it, that was rough.
I had tickets to the ball game yesterday, and I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to watch it on the old tube.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah. And then I forgot the Cardinals were out of town today. And I almost bought a green seat for tonight's game.
In Miami?
But it was for next Monday.
Oh, yeah.
When I just said I'll be gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because green seats are normally like $500, $600, $700, $800.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one, I thought for tonight, for $166.
Oh.
Which is a good amount of money for a game, but the green seats are the mamba jamba.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
That's luxury.
Yes, it is. And it was in the second row.
Oh.
So.
Sorry. sorry again. Dumb
She's
question.
Allergic to my wealth.
Yeah.
She's like trying to make a point.
Do they have like
quit bragging. I'm sorry.
Seriously. Do they have like a green seat type situation at every stadium?
It's a great question.
Something like it. They
but
all have
maybe
premium.
Not the green seats.
Yeah, they have premium seating everywhere. Yeah.
I also had been assuming that they were just green seats everywhere. And I was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
I don't know what
Miami.
They call them, but maybe.
I bet there are.
Yeah. I mean, it may not be green. It may not be called that, but that exists everywhere.
The weird thing about our
you
green seats.
You ever see Dodger Stadium? Like right behind home plate, it's like cut down low, and they actually sit down low. So theirs is actually like.
Like real
like
eye
your
level.
Your eyes are field level, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Our green seats are weird because you enter a completely different entrance. You go into the buffet.
Yeah, yeah.
You eat like crazy for an hour.
Yep.
Then you go out to the seats and order anything you want.
Yep.
Which is a little bit like,
that's what you're paying for.
I'm kind of full.
Yeah. It's called opulence, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, you already splurged on the green seat ticket. You deserve everything your heart could desire at that point.
The one time I did, I left early, too.
Yeah, the one. So I got to sit in the green seats one time because my brother had tickets from work, mm-hmm. and I was like too shy to order food while sitting in the seats. I don't know what my problem was, but I was just like, no, I just won't.
I'll have water, please.
Missed opportunity.
So a friend told me over the weekend that Pornhub is 12 days away in America from making you give your ID.
Oh.
It was Ackerman. I just wanted to talk baseball, but that's all he would talk about.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Got to give your ID? Got to take a little picture of it and upload it to the old Pornhub?
I mean, you can choose not to.
Which I think I shall.
I mean, I understand it. I get it. I mean, what are we trying to do with this? We're trying to limit people
are
under 18 from going to porn sites, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's the entire goal. So I get it. I also understand, you know, if you visit a site like that, you may not want to be like, here's my picture. Like, I get that too, you know?
Right.
Like, it's just an interesting balance between being free and open access. Because I'm trying to think, I was looking at a dispensary site.
Trying to remember what pornography site.
I was looking at a dispensary site the other day, and you have to click, yes, I'm 18, or mm-hmm. I'm 21, or whatever, just to get to look at it.
Yes.
Well, if that's all you got to do to age verify, is just click yes.
Right.
I mean, that's not very difficult.
That's how it is on all those sites now. It's how it is on alcohol sites. If you go to if you go to like Budweiser's website or whatever, it's just like, hey, you're over 21, ain't you? Right. And you just go,
okay, but yes, for the alcohol websites, they're not providing you with alcohol when you're
looking correct.
At that
you're just
site.
Looking at pictures,
which is a great point.
Yeah, the way I look at it, it's nice that we got the Wild West of the internet for as long as we did. But let's be real. The way this could go so bad if we don't start regulating it more. And the argument that's just like, well, in the past, dude, I get it. In the past, we didn't have AI. In the past, we didn't have this and that. Like, if you're embarrassed to upload your ID to Pornhub, then don't go to Pornhub.
Agreed.
Wheeler brings up a great point that, like, I never hear brought up. People are like, oh, no, what are we going to do? I'm like, well, you know, you can find an alternative somehow.
I mean, on the chat, Dave Hines makes a good point. You used to have to go to a store.
Absolutely.
You used to have to go to a physical place and prove that you're... And I'm sure it's like, if you walk in and you're 50, they're not going to make you prove that you're 18. But you know what I mean? And you still got to go there.
Those places were nice.
Some of my best friends I met at those stores.
I met some true gentlemen.
Well, hello, Elijah, is it? Nice to meet you.
But yeah, this idea that it's like you just get to stay anonymous on the internet forever. I think those days are coming to an end, you guys.
Mm.
And I think it only makes sense that those days come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm guessing there was probably a time in the world where speed limits didn't exist.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really need them.
Boy, Pornhub's got to be hating that.
I would bet. I would bet. This is the question. Is it becoming a law
that I don't know.
Everyone has to do it, or are they just deciding to do it?
Don't know the answer to that.
Because there's some states that already have it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like
there
Tennessee,
are some states,
I think, already has it.
Yeah, I think there are a couple places where some of those sites are just banned outright.
Well, it's like a warning, like in 12 days, this is going to happen, so I doubt they're doing it voluntarily. They're probably like, this sucks. So.
I guess. I mean... But I have not heard of any law being passed federally that would require that across the board.
Yeah, no, I guess Missouri is doing it now.
Oh, I get you. So it's been done here.
Yeah, I don't remember it. I don't remember it being on any ballots, but, you know. But I don't keep up with that stuff like Ackerman does, so I don't know. Got to go to Tommy for my...
Tom's driving home going, guys!
Come on, man. Killing me here. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Now, this is a story I read just today, but I didn't vet it, but I read it, which is more than I usually do, okay? And it was about ivermectin. Remember that?
Yeah.
From COVID, and people on the right were taking it, and it's a horse dewormer. And it got so bad this is what made me laugh. It got so bad, evidently for real, that veterinarians were making you show them a picture of you and your horse.
Oh.
Which kind of reminds me of the Pornhub thing. And
verify horse.
Verify that you have a horse.
But it seems that after all these years, a lot of people on the right, they want to paint with too broad a brush here, but this is what the story was about, are using it like an aspirin. So it's just become a part of their daily routine.
Yeah, I had seen
a
video of Riley Gaines, the one swimmer who lost to Leah Thomas, mm-hmm. who, like, that's her whole personality now is the fact that she lost to Leah Thomas. She was selling ivermectin on Twitter the other day, and I was like, oh, people are still using that. Very interesting. Very interesting stuff.
Wheels, you're going to like this one. I got a TikTok. You know how you go through TikTok really fast. And I got a TikTok, and it was a graph, a chart, if you will, of throwing velocity at different ages. Mm-hmm. And I looked to find mine, and it only went to 17.
Yeah.
And then I really laughed. I'm like, yeah, who's going to put a graph up of how hard 60-year-old men throw?
Nobody would know.
That's true.
You would have to have a way to measure it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of... obviously, there are... You know, people that like use that information for player development, but there's also a lot of studies going on to see, you know, what's causing a lot of injuries and, you know, or, you know, because it's not the number itself, like the miles per hour is not what's causing an injury. It's the effort level required to throw.
To get there.
Right. So, like, if I could throw 80 easily, but another person had to throw as hard as they could to get to 70, they're doing more damage than I am.
How would it hit you? If I were to say nothing wrong with travel ball and private coaching, but there should be a lower stakes league for kids to play in, like I played in as a kid, that is just as big and easy to join and respected.
It's there. It's Little League.
So they still do it, and I didn't know.
I mean, that's what these teams you're seeing are in the Little League World Series. They come from a specific Little League.
Percentage is travel ball? Among teenagers?
Oh, I don't know. It's more than it used to be. Like, it's grown. The number of travel teams that exist is way bigger than it used to be. I wouldn't have any idea of a percentage. I know that recreational-style leagues are not doing as well. You're not getting as many sign-ups because more kids like the idea, at least, if not the, if I mean, and this is kind of, it is an interesting dilemma because you will see, like, quote unquote travel ball, but within travel ball there are different levels of teams. There are teams that quote unquote are travel teams, but they don't travel. And then there are travel teams that travel every weekend for 2 months, 3 months at a time. So there are levels within that world, and they play tournaments that way. Like, if you look at a tournament in town, for example, the Perfect Game tournament, there will be two separate brackets, and both of them are travel teams. There's an open bracket, and then there's a double A, or a triple A and a double A, and they're different levels of play, but it's still called travel ball. So it's not one big thing as it's portrayed to be. But yeah, I understand people that want that, and the recreational ball does exist.
Okay.
Like, it's there. It's struggling a bit because fewer kids want to sign up for it. Or people, some argue with the parents don't want to sign their kids up for it because they like the idea of, you know, the higher end ball, whatever. I mean, it can be a mix of the two, but the whole point should be that every kid playing sports should be playing the way that they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they want to be a competitive player,
you're a big fan of the rec, right?
Yeah, I'm absolutely. If that's what your kid wants to be, if your kid just wants to have fun, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Because the percentages dictate that 99.8% of them aren't going to go pro anyway. Right? No, even at the highest level of travel balls, most of them are not going to get a single penny to play baseball. They'll get to play college ball, which is a beneficial thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll get scholarships. You'll obviously have a lot of opportunity to learn and compete and learn what it's like to compete and work for something. There are a lot of great benefits to it. But a lot of the kids won't even get that opportunity. And you just have to understand that if you're doing travel ball, you're not paying for a scholarship. What you should be looking at it is, I'm paying to give my kid the experience, and whether or not that's worth it is what your decision needs to be based on.
Gotcha.
You know, if you think it's worth it for your kid to play against better competition and to learn hard lessons and to have to practice hard and to have to go through difficulty, But then that's a good thing.
I just wondered, having seen the parents in the Little League World Series who look like the worst humans on earth, I just was wondering if there was like judgment of just rec leagues.
No, I mean, there is, but there shouldn't be. All of these things should exist. Just like men's baseball on a recreational level should exist, just like Major League Baseball exists. Like, why shouldn't regular old 25-year-old dudes get to go play for fun? Just because it's not the major leagues. It's silly. Of course, all that should exist. And as many sports as it can possibly exist. But the problem that people... What I run into, some of the complaints I have are that people tend to want to blame one thing. And usually they want to blame travel ball because it's all about money. Well, yeah, sure. But there are also a lot of kids that would never get to play college baseball if they didn't go through that. If they didn't go to other parts of the country to play in tournaments and get exposure and learn what it's like to face the best kids that you'll ever run into. Like, you don't have to learn that at 12, but you definitely need to start learning that by the time you're going into high school. Because you don't understand that, then you don't have a realistic idea of what it's going to take for you to try to do what you think you want to do.
Yeah. It's how it was for me when I was younger and I got into beauty pageants. I didn't know what I was up against.
Yeah, I mean, you got to learn right away, though. Sooner you learn, the sooner you can fix it.
I pretty much just do the show for Andrew.
You got that little gig. Right, I don't know.
I don't know if it's welcome back, guys. DGS. So a lot of tears today with kids going to school for their first day. Little kids, parents. College kids being dropped off and dads putting together vanities in the dorm, right? It's just like just such a rite of passage.
I saw a great video. It's just a little clips of like pictures of different dads.
I saw that.
You saw that too?
Like, yes.
This dad is the assembler. This dad is the talk to strangers for no reason dad. Yes. Yeah, that was my dad.
Yes.
Yeah, he was the one just talking to everybody around.
Yep.
Striking up conversation. I was the, I'm just carrying crap. Dad. I don't need help. Just carry four bags at once, five bags. That was me on move-in day for my kid, her freshman year.
Nick is our put-things-together guy.
Okay.
So for you sure. Set.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, I'm just putting my head down, try not to get in trouble.
Just get it done. Yeah.
Get it done.
That's a good one. The try not to get yelled at dad.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I was that one, too.
When you see how it's going between your, you know... You get the idea. You're like, okay, I'm probably just going to not give my...
I don't want to make it worse.
I'm not going to give my opinion on what should happen here.
Yeah.
So, it's been a while since I told my story about my first day in school. Wheels, I don't think you've heard this. Grandma Glover was so smart and evil. And when I went to kindergarten, I went... the way my birthday fell, I was young. And I was tiny, and I didn't want to go. I went to PM kindergarten. You'd either go to AM or PM.
Right, right.
And my mom said, well, how did she pull this one over? She said, it's okay. You don't have to go, but you do need to walk your friends. And I'm like, lady, you got it. So Terry and Brad, I walked them. I had my arms around them. I'm like, boys, I'm going to be right here at 3 p.m. I'll pick you up. We'll have some fun. You can tell me about your day. And she gets there and she goes, you know what? Why don't you walk them in and just sit with them for a second? Then we can go. And so I walk in there and I sit down. I'm like, see, nothing to be afraid of here. I get up to leave and the teacher literally puts both of her hands on my shoulders and just pushes me down. And I turn around. My mom's nowhere to be seen.
She ghosted you.
And I'm just like, damn.
That's the way you got to do it, man. Whatever it takes.
That's what she did.
Yeah.
That's what she did.
Whatever it takes. It worked out just fine.
When I took Nick to his first day of preschool at Hope Montessori, the whole deal behind Montessori is they don't help you. Like, kids can learn for themselves, even little three-year-old kids. So I took Nick in, and it was wintertime. He had a big winter coat on, and he was trying to get his coat off, and I'm standing behind a pillar spying on him, and he can't get his coat off, and he's looking around, and no one's helping him. So he finally just bends over and pulls the whole thing off, and his sweater comes off with it, and he puts his sweater back on. He looks around, and he goes, son of a bitch.
I wonder where he heard that before. Must have been on the TV.
We had a lot of fun with that. He had one friend, like every morning they would have breakfast and they would serve each other. Like they would pour the milk and everything. And then there was a big wooden necklace you wore if you had been the bad kid.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh.
And his friend wore it every day of that week. And so Marina and I are like, so what's Phil doing? And Nick just stops eating. He goes, he's making bad choices.
Hello.
Nick would have been great in the cult. He was just buying in.
Yeah. Made bad choices.
Whatever it takes to get through this, let's do it.
I have zero memories of first days of school.
Really?
Of my own, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember the first day of kindergarten. I vaguely remember the first day of high school, but only vaguely.
I remember the first day of first grade. That's the only one for some reason that I remember.
Were you scared?
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't, like, so scary, because I went to Catholic school at the time, so it was, like, a very small class.
Chilled.
It wasn't, like, one of those things where it's, like, a public, you know, elementary school where there's 100-plus kids in your class.
Right.
There was, like, 10 of us. And I was somehow still the loser.
Rach, how about you?
I remember my first day of kindergarten at Grafton Elementary School. And I had a great day. It was fine. I wasn't, like, nervous from what I remember.
That's really surprising.
Well, and then my mom came to pick me up, and she was like, oh, you want to go to Amoco? We'll get you a treat. And I was like, oh, you know, I was kind of hoping to ride the bus home, but once I get home, we can come back down and get a snack. And she was like, no, like, that wasn't the point. Like,
I want to be with my friends more.
Quite independent.
That's great.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, I didn't see it because I forget what. I must have been. I think I was working overnight, so I was probably asleep. But my kid, her first day of preschool, my wife was going to take her, and my wife was getting ready for her to be nervous or scared or whatever. And they got there, and she looked in, and she said, okay, Mama, you can go now. I'm like, all right, good job, kid. That's the
way
to do it.
What was Nick's moral compass? Was it like Willie wasn't?
No, that was Pig Will and Pig Won't.
Pig Will and Pig Won't. I
strongly recommend it to any new parents out there.
I don't know why Pig Won't makes me laugh.
It was
so
his I Ching.
Oh, it's a Richard Scarry story. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I recognize these little guys.
Oh, yeah.
Pig won't is what I say when Megan recommends a restaurant that I don't want to go to. She's like, how about here tonight? And I'm like, pig won't.
It would probably still stop Nick in his tracks to this day.
Man,
his girlfriend's like, would Pig Will do the dishes? And he's like,
maybe it's always,
he would.
Maybe it's always been bad, but I would hate being a teacher right now, like especially the little guys.
Oh, yeah.
With the way parents are.
And the way that everything is just brain rot.
Did you see this? Like this mom the other day was enraged. So, of course, the first thing she does is go on TikTok to make a video about it. How awful her son's first day of school, kindergarten, was, because she dropped him off, took him to the classroom, which she was not supposed to do. She was supposed to drop him off at the door. Parents are not supposed to go in. But she's like, no, I have to take my kid. Make sure he's okay. Like, okay, so the rules don't apply to you, first of all. Tells the kid, okay, your water bottle is in the pocket of your backpack. Your backpack is on your chair. And the kid comes into the car at the end of the day and, oh, I'm thirsty. I haven't had anything to drink. Only went to the drinking fountain one time. She's blaming the teacher for not getting this kid's water bottle out of the backpack for him. And then she held the kid out of school of day two because she was so traumatized by this. And she's like, my COVID baby needs people to take care of. Like, your kid can get his own water bottle out of the pocket of his backpack like every one of his classmates did, man.
COVID babies are in school. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
If you have that high of expectations for what should be going on at school, you should probably just homeschool.
Amen. 100%.
Like, just take matters into your own hands, because you have very unrealistic expectations of the way things actually are.
I mean, like the way she describes it is she told her kid, your water bottle's in your backpack. And obviously your backpack is wherever they put their backpacks. And every other kid went and got their water bottle out of the backpack, except her own kid. So what I'm learning is your kid either wasn't thirsty all day and didn't care, or doesn't follow instructions very well, which is on you.
We talked about this a little bit, but then we kind of like dipped out quickly. All these videos parents are making complaining about having to buy school supplies for their children. Those are very confusing to me, because it's like, who do you think is going to provide the supplies for your kids if not
you? I read
a
little bit on this, and the thinking is, since my child is required to go to school, I should not have to pay for the supplies, and I should not have to pay for meals.
So let's follow that train of logic for a second. Are you saying the only reason you're sending your child to school right. is because the state is requiring you to? That's the only, you would be keeping them at home if you weren't required to send them to school. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
I get that, like, it gets expensive, but to ask the teachers who make no money to cover that, that's insane. Like, you can get your kid a pack of Crayola colored pencils and it's not going to be the end of your world.
So basically, the young parents that we're talking about, like, the boomers and the Gen Xers that bore those children, we screwed them up somehow. They have no concept of how anything works. They're just like, it shouldn't be that way. But it is that way.
Yeah.
You live in a world where things exist the way they are. You don't get to just say, I don't want to do that. I mean, like, that's not how it works. You want to change it? Fine. Work to change it. Get elected to something. Start a movement. But you don't get to just say, I don't like that. But we did that, clearly, right? I mean, boomers and Gen X parents that raised the kids that are having kids now going to school, that are raising these, we did that. How did they get that way? Mm. How did you get to the point to not understand how things work and not accept how things work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and just like it's also sad just from the perspective of, man, when I was growing up, it was fun going shopping for school supplies.
Yeah, it was bittersweet.
Yeah, but it was something to look forward to. And it's like, I got my new notebooks.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to pick out the cute Kleenex box to give to the teacher. And then that way, when it's in the rotation, I'll know it's my, you know. And then to just suck all the joy out of them and be like, oh, the school should supply all of it. Okay, well, they don't. Well, and they never have.
Yeah, then you got to vote to accept higher taxes.
Right.
Right? And then you got to convince, again, this is the point. If you want to change it so that that happens, you have to do something. You don't just get to say, I want that. You've got to go say, all right, we need to put out a petition to start getting to convince people to vote for higher school taxes so we can have the school cover those things. But that's hard. I mean, that drives me crazier than anything. I shouldn't have. Okay, then go change the rules. You don't get to decide for everybody else that you're just going to opt out. It's like I'm going to shut up.
For hours it seems, I keep thinking of you, yeah, thinking of you.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 149. Rachel, you have a story?
Oh, man. I hate to be a hater, but I'm going to go ahead and let her rip here. Did you guys know there's going to be another Lord of the Rings film called The Lord of the Rings, The Hunt for Gollum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know about this until just now. And yeah.
With the stars and everything?
Well, I mean, it's going to have Andy Serkis.
Yeah, Andy Serkis, the guy who played Gollum, mm-hmm. or they like motion captured him, whatever happened. He's going to direct and star in the new film. Mm-hmm. It's expected in December of 2027. Well, now Ian McKellen has revealed that he and Elijah Wood will be reprising their roles as Frodo and Gandalf in the Hunt for Gollum.
Mm-hmm. You seem suspect.
Well, what's this based on? What's the Lord of the Rings book? Am I missing a book?
It's in the book, but it wasn't in the movies.
Yeah, it's about them looking for Gollum.
I mean, how long of a passage was this?
I mean, it's like woven into the story.
It's like a million pages.
I know. That's the hard part.
It's not an original story. It's not like they made it up so they could make more movies, which I think would be the bigger concern. It is an unadapted part of the story, but it's also like, what are we doing?
Well, I feel very similarly to the way I felt about The Hobbit. The Hobbit is like a relatively short book that was written for children that they stretched out into three feature films that were like 3 hours long. And it was like, okay.
Yeah, see, The Hobbit
book. This is a lot.
Like the Hobbit movies, book though, is the same as basically one of the other three books by itself, right? So The Lord of the Rings is a trilogy, and The Hobbit was one book. Now, it's bigger than any of the other ones, if I remember right, but it's not big enough. It shouldn't have been made into three movies. It probably should have been two. if you were going to do it without having to, you know, add things or stretch it out or whatever.
It's only 300 pages long.
Yeah. Yeah, it should have been probably two movies or like one mega 4-hour thingy, but I mean much better to have been two. That was a good fair criticism I thought of it, and it was one of mine in watching The Hobbit trilogy. Was it didn't need to be three movies. It could have been two.
Oh, well, best of luck to Dave Hines, who had got an audition for this film. Now I'm rooting for it. I just get annoyed because it's like,
Dave's going to be Gandalf.
He's going to be Gollum.
And we wish him well. I hope Dave gets this part. I would love to go see the film in that case. But it's just like, man, we're doing another one, and then it's like, and Ian McKellen is in it. Well, Ian McKellen is 25 years older than he was in the original Lord of the Rings. Like, how are we going to make this work?
They made Elijah Wood look like he was 3 feet tall.
I don't know why that made me laugh.
This is the
best movie of all time. Never mind.
You were handing me some opposition, didn't you?
I think he is actually 3 feet tall.
Yeah, he's pretty. No, you just hit two nerds. That's all.
I mean, I've read the books, too. I'm not, like, contesting that they hunted for Gollum at some point, but it's like, yeah, we need a whole film out of this. I don't think we do, actually.
I had kind of just been assuming this movie wasn't going to be made. Like, they said they were going to make it, but that's, like, half of all movies ever. They're like, we're going to make this, and then they just don't. So I kind of had been in that space until this morning when I saw that casting stuff. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
My worry, which is not a big one, because I did not read it. None of them. I read nothing. and I was proud of it. No, it would be sort of like my beloved Star Wars trilogy was tainted by the ones after it. And I wouldn't want that to happen to my Lord of the Rings if I were into it like you guys are.
Yeah, I mean,
That kind of already happened with The Hobbit. Now, I think The Hobbit movies are great, but I also like the prequels. But that was sort of like, The Hobbit was sort of like the prequel movies for the Lord. I mean, quite literally, it was the prequels, but also it was like treated as, you know, we're going to add scenes in.
And that's the one with Nolan Gorman. What's his name? Who plays The Hobbit?
Martin Freeman.
Yes, thank you.
I almost said Martin Short.
I was like, Bilbo.
That would have been good, too.
Yeah, Martin Freeman.
It's Bilbo, Dave. Yeah. It's Bilbo.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. I just know him as Bilbo.
All right. Well, I'm a hater. I mean, I led the segment off by saying that. I saw the article. I'm like, are you kidding me? Okay.
I just mean, better be good. Right?
See, this is the thing.
I will see it if Dave Hines is cast in the film.
Okay,
that'd be so cool.
I will be there on opening night in that case.
Our buddy Vic, who we had on last week for the American Legion in Soulard, says, hey, everybody, we had the best third Friday happy hour ever last Friday. Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Good for them.
Thank you for the food.
Man, that barbecue stuff, that was good stuff.
I didn't get to taste it because you frightened me.
I ate all of it.
Yes.
I continued to eat it after the show was over. These two had to stand there and watch me eat ribs. If you guys don't laugh.
Everyone from the Glover Show is winning.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sure. Dave's up for a part.
Yeah.
Vic had his best. We got an A-list.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It's all coming up DGS. Mm-hmm.